gotten this book. It's called Undercover. And in fact, this is the exact title, Undercover. And then the subtitle is The Promise of Protection Under God's Authority. It is such a powerful book. It's written by John Bevere. And I suggest you get it. In fact, there's several books of his that are so powerful. We've already taught The Bait of Satan, which is about fighting the spirit of offense and hurt and that sort of thing, and forgiveness. And so it's just such a powerful book. He's a great writer. And so I really appreciate the understanding that God has set up a system of authority, not only in the spiritual realm, but also in the visible realm. You know, we always talk about that Jesus is the visible manifestation of the invisible God. He is God. All the fullness of the Godhead was in him bodily. And then also we talk about that the church is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom. So if you want to touch the kingdom of God, you touch the church, you minister to the church, you serve the church. It is the gateway to the supernatural side of the kingdom. And so that's what God decided to create. When he came and robed himself in flesh and he walked among us, he did miracles, signs and wonders. And then when he wrapped it all up, he was crucified. He said, "It is finished." And then when he returned after he was resurrected, he spent days and days and weeks with the disciples. Then he said, "Hey, I must go away. And now I am with you, but I shall be in you." And so he gave this wonderful kingdom to the church. He gave himself for it, the Bible says. And so the church is the visible manifestation of the invisible kingdom. And what a blessing it is if we walk in submission to God's authority, then there are blessings that come with that. And if we don't, then there is curse. And I want to be blessed. Amen? And so our lesson series is based on Psalm 91 and 1 is our text. And let me get to the right view here where I can see what I'm doing. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. And then in Romans 13 and 1, the King James Version says it this way, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." The New Living Translation says it this way, "Everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished." Now that's pretty clear. That no mincing of words there. It's pretty obvious what God is trying to say. And so we must understand that there is a system of authority in the world today. And when we stay under God's covering of authority and we walk in the line and the chain of command that God has placed in our lives, then there is a blessing that comes with that. Not only is there a blessing, but that blessing comes with protection, that comes with safety. Because if we will walk in His way, then our obedience and our faith obligates God to do His part. There are many conditional promises. If you read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, what a powerful message that is to us. It talks to us about if you will follow my ways, if you will follow my commandments, if you will do what I say, then you will be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the fields. You'll be blessed when you get up. You'll be blessed when you walk by the way. Every area of life will be blessed. And then it says in verse 15, "But if you don't, then I'm going to put all of these curses on you." Now, that's a pretty easy choice, okay? We want to be blessed or we want to be cursed. Do I want God on my side? I want him fighting my battles. I want him taking care of me. I want him to protect me. Or do I want him to release his hand of protection and allow the curses that he's putting on the disobedient to be on me? Now, that's a pretty easy choice. Amen. It's just like the principle of giving, of tithing. If we do that, if we bring the first 10%, the first fruits to the house of God, then he says, hey, I'm going to bless you. And then I'm going to give back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So not only that, he is going to rebuke the devourer for our sake. Now, that's a pretty easy choice, right? I want my finances to be blessed. I want my home to be blessed. I want my life to be protected from the enemy. And so if we will, then he will. And so if is a very small, gigantic word in the Bible because it holds so many choices in it. If we will, then he will. And I prefer for God to be obligated to his promise because God never lies. He never fails. He never falls. He never fumbles. He never sleeps. He is always on task. And so when I will align myself with the will and the way of God, then I invite his blessing. I invite his protection. I invite him to multiply all of my works. Everything that I do, everything that I touch will be blessed. And that's what I want. Why wouldn't anybody want that, right? And so all we have to do is align ourselves with spiritual authority. And our scripture in Romans says that all authority comes from God. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today because I know sometimes in our mind, you know, we are independent Americans. We don't want rules and regulations, and we don't want taxation without representation, all that sort of thing. And I'm just as patriotic as the next person and probably more so than some. But that is not our highest priority. Our highest priority is to walk in God's way. Amen. Amen? Because the kingdom is right side up and the world is upside down. But it feels upside down because it's so adverse to our flesh. Because our flesh says, you fight me, but I'm going to fight you. You hit me, you better get ready to be hit back. That's our flesh. That's the culture that we live in. That's the world that we live in. But Bible culture, God's kingdom says, if you hit me, I turn the other cheek and let you hit me again. The world's culture says, if you hate me, well, get ready. I'm going to hate you back. You do evil to me, I'm going to do evil to you. But kingdom culture says that if you do evil to me, then I'm going to do good for you. If you speak bad about me, then I'm going to pray for you. If you hate me, then I'm going to love you. Love has no loopholes. You have to love your brothers and sisters. You have to love your neighbors. You have to love your enemies. It has no loopholes. And so the kingdom is a system that we align with. And so we're different from the world. We're different. We're peculiar, the Bible says. And as I always say, some of us are more peculiar than others. And that's all right. It takes all kinds. But we align ourselves with the kingdom principles that are written in the Word of God. And then it may be odd. It may be hard. It never promised us that it would be easy. But when we do that, we invite the blessings of God. Okay, so last week we broached this subject, but we never really talked about it completely. There are four divisions of delegated authority that is shown in the New Testament. It's civil, social, family, and church. Now, civil authority, that's very obvious. That is our city council, our mayor, our governor, our senators from the state of Texas, our House of Representatives from the state of Texas, all those that are in between there and here. And then you go to the national level and all those things. And they're mostly crazy. And, you know, especially career politicians, they're mostly corrupt. But however, just because we don't agree with them doesn't mean that we don't submit to civil authority. And especially on a personal level in our world today, probably the civil authority that we have the most interaction with, and hopefully you haven't had much of this lately, is police officers. And we appreciate them because they protect us. We don't appreciate them because they stop us when we're driving too fast. And they give us a little piece of paper and they want our autograph and all that stuff. It's always fun. Okay? But we still need to respect that office. We respect the people that have authority. And so that is in civil situations. We should give honor to whom honor is due. And because of their elected position or their appointed position in authority, we respect them and we respect the laws to which they are submitted to and they uphold. And that is civil authority. Remember, it's all delegated by God. Because Romans 13 tells us all authority comes from God. Okay? And then last week we also talked about social. There are social authority, social delegated authority in our life. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give honor to our elders, right? In social situations, we'll honor our mother and father, your days will be long on this earth, all this stuff. We're supposed to honor those that are elders. I appreciate those in this church that have given us an example of endurance. When we had our Blessed Life Singspiration, that was one of the most fun services I think I've ever been in. We had a blast. It was so good. The music was good. The singing was good. But, you know, more than all of that, it was the spirit behind that, because I know that when Sister McGehee and Sister Spaulding and others that were singing that night, when they sing those words, that they have lived that. They've lived that. It's more than just some song they learned on some practice somewhere, but they've lived it. And it was so powerful to watch. And we should give honor. We should give honor to our elders. So glad to see Brother Herod come through the back door this morning. I honor him for the years of ministry and faithfulness. What a blessing it is. Just he's licensed with the United Pentecost Church, probably, what, 60 years or something? 61 years. Isn't that amazing? And just faithfulness. What a blessing. And they deserve honor. And not only in the church, but in social situations. We should teach our young people to be respectful to adults. Amen. Amen. My children know that if you want to get in real trouble, you just be disrespectful to somebody. Amen. We're going to have some issues. Praise God. And so in our household, you don't have to do it this way. I'm not saying you have to do it exactly like I do it. But we say, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And if you don't, then you don't really get an answer. You have to just keep waiting, right? And so we teach respect. And I've looked in my children's eyes before and said, look, you may be having a bad day, but you're not going to talk to me that way. Okay? Doesn't happen very often. Anna's sitting here. She's so sweet. Amen. She's my girl. But, you know, she's human. So we always, you know, everybody has those little times. They're not having the best of days, or they're not having the best of news from daddy, and he didn't say yes. But anyway, that sort of thing. But we teach, we're not going to talk that way. We're not going to be disrespectful. You're not going to raise your voice. And because of that, now, you know, 16 years later and 21 years later, we have very little of that. Very little, almost probably none at this point. Because they understand that there is a respect for authority, not only in our house, but outside of our house. And so in school, there is respect there. And if we ever disagree with someone in authority that is maybe, you know, because people are human, they don't always do things properly. And so they may treat your child what you feel is incorrectly or whatever. But you know what? Because I want them to respect authority, I go around them and I talk to the authority without their knowledge and I express my opinion in that way. But between me and my children, they don't even know that I'm having issues or that I'm trying to correct something, because I don't want them to have that authority undermined in their life. Amen? I want them to respect teachers, police officers, people that have authority in our world. I want them to have respect for elders. Amen? Praise God. And so your children will go a long way when you teach respect. Don't undermine authority. Because what you don't realize is that when you underline authority that's above you, you're undermining authority below you. Come on. That's some good teaching right there. Because if you're in the military and you get an order from the lieutenant and you decide, hey, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, you're somewhere in between. Maybe you're a sergeant and you want to go boss around the corporal or the private and you want them to do what you say. Why would they do what you say when you can't do what your leader said? Because you have removed yourself from the line of authority, and so you have no power either. And so when you pull down the authority of your children's lives, then you are also undermining your own authority. And so you can't do that. All right, and that's social and family. And then last week, where we didn't really get to, is the church, because it's not a very popular subject that the church has delegated authority. But guess what? We don't teach things because it feels good. We teach things because it's true. Amen. And I always qualify this kind of subject, and you've heard me do this in this lesson. I am not your Lord. I don't want to make your life decisions. That is not my job. Amen. It's not my circus. It's not my monkeys. You know, whatever. You know, I don't need that. I don't want to help you or tell you what car to buy, where to go on vacation, when to take time off. I don't want that. That's not why I'm here. I'm not the Lord over your life. Amen. However, there is a spiritual authority given to the church and given to elders in the church. And when we respect that, there is a protection that comes. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live without a pastor. I don't want to live without someone that can speak into my life, because you know what? I'm just dumb enough to make wrong decisions. I have flesh just like you have. And there are times that I get sideways when I really have a bad spirit. It's not justified anger. There's times that I make wrong decisions, and I want somebody to be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, you need to straighten up. You don't need to think like that. You need to rethink that decision. And I need somebody in my life that I can say, yes, sir, you're right. Let me pray about it. Let me search my heart. If you see something in me and you want me to change, whatever, I'm going to do it. Whatever you ask. Amen. Brother Hargrove calls me today, tells me to jump. I'm going to say, how high on the way up? You want me to land on 1 foot or two? You just tell me. Why? Because he's looking out for my soul. Why would anybody want to remove themselves from someone that is looking out for their soul and looking out for their children's soul? Amen. One of the sweetest stories that I can remember in our family. We were driving down the road, and Simeon was just a little thing. He was probably 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there. I don't remember how old he was. But we were talking about angels and how some people have seen angels. And Simeon just spoke up from the back seat. We weren't even really talking to him. We were talking to each other. And he said, I've seen an angel. And, well, really, you have, okay? He said, Brother Hargrove is an angel. Guess what? Brother Hargrove's not perfect. He's a man. But you know what? In the eyes of Simeon and Anna, Brother Hargrove is perfect. There's no better pastor. There's no better preacher. There's no wiser man in our lives than he. Not because we're setting him up as something to be worshiped, but because they have never heard us say a negative word about our pastor. Amen. Now, were there ever times that we doubted, that we disagreed, that we wished things were done differently? Absolutely yes. But you know what? Submission only gets revealed when you disagree. You can say you're submitted all you want to when everything's rolling downhill the direction you want it to roll. But the moment things start to change and you feel uncomfortable, then that's when submission kicks in. Amen. And because of that, I honor him. I have a presbyter, and I honor him. If he wants to speak into our lives and our church, I will let him. We have a district superintendent that I love, Brother Flowers. What an amazing man. If you ever get to spend any time around Brother Richard Flowers, he is one of the kindest, sweetest, wisest men that I have ever met, and I'm submitted to him. And our bishop, I love our bishop. And the whole time I have been here, I have been submitted to him. Every major decision that we have made in the last 7.5 years, up until maybe just a year or so ago, every major decision was talked about either in my office with him or in their living room. And because I wanted his direction in my life. I needed his protection. Amen. And what a blessing that is. And because of that, I know it sounds self-serving because it feels like I'm talking about that I want to be an authority, but I know what a blessing it is to have a shepherd. Amen. And I love you. And I want nothing but good for you. And I want to be able to minister to your family. I want to be able to be a pastor to your children and to your young people. Amen. Don't ever remove the pastor's authority out of your children's lives. And I promise this, I pledge this, that I will never violate your parental authority because I respect that just as much as I expect to be respected. Amen. Amen. And so the Bible says, submit yourself one to another. It doesn't make sense in a secular sense. It doesn't make sense because everything is from the top down, right? In our world. But in a biblical sense, submission is circular. Because if I'm going to be your leader, if I'm going to be your shepherd, then I have to be your servant. If I want to be first, then I've got to be last. If I want to be chief, then I've got to be willing to be a minister, a servant. I've got to be at your beck and call. If you need me, I'm there. That's why I give out my mobile number to everyone that wants it. I don't pick and choose who gets that. If you want it, you can have it. Why? Because I am a servant to you. My time is a servant to you, and I want to bless you, and I want to minister to you, and I want to protect you, and I want to be there for your children. I want to be able to counsel them when they start dating and start making decisions, and I want to marry them to the right person, and I want to dedicate their children, I want to help them. I want to help them become everything that God has called them to be. Amen. And as I say often, I can't tell you how to make sure your children live for God. But I can give you about a 90% chance that they won't. All you have to do is talk bad about the church, undermine the pastor, and make church a less priority in your life. It's all you got to do. It's really a simple process if you want your children to be lost. But if you want them to be saved, put church as a high priority. Honor the leaders in the church. Honor the bishop and the pastor and their Sunday school teachers. Honor them, honor them, honor them. Help them. Amen. Build them up. Don't tear them down because they're the safety net for your soul. Amen. And because of that, we need to pray for our leaders. Pray for your leaders. One of the the sweetest gifts I've ever gotten at this church is, and in fact, I have two of them. I have a jar and I have a box. And inside that jar and inside that box are prayers and pledges to pray for me. Because it's very challenging. You know, I'm blessed in so many ways, and I don't complain about it, but it's challenging. It's challenging. You know, if you work on a job that, say you make widgets, you know, you get through making a widget, you can look at it and say, hey, I finished that, it's done. But people are very hard to calculate that way. Because just about the time you think they're done, something else pops up, right? It's a process. And so because of that, it can be discouraging sometimes to lead people, right? You ever try to lead people? It's kind of like herding cats, you know? It's not, they don't all want to go in the same direction. And people are up and down, and you get a phone call from one person, hey, I just got a new job. And you're like, wow, that's awesome. Hey, you ought to see my car. I just got a car. I needed a car, and God gave me a car. That's wonderful. And then you get another call. So, Pastor, I'm just tired. I'm leaving church. You get another call, and you know, you made me mad about this. Well, sorry. Didn't mean to. Or you get a text. You know, they don't really want to talk to you. Or they just disappear, and then they ignore your text. That happens, too. Or, you know, you get the person, hey, Pastor, I just went to the doctor. I got terrible news. And so it's like a roller coaster, you know. You're like, woo, awesome. And the next, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, it's back and forth. And so pray for your leaders. Pray for me. I need your prayers because, and I pray this prayer all the time. If you're ever here on Saturday night and I'm walking around, you get close to me, you'll probably hear me say this, Lord, let me be the pastor that this church needs. Lord, let me be the teacher that they need, the preacher that they need, the counselor that they need. Lord, let me be a better husband and a better father. And I pray for those things. Because I'm not there yet. I'm not the best preacher, teacher. I'm not the best pastor. I've got a long way to go, but I need prayer. Amen. And it's hard to talk about somebody you're praying for, too, by the way. Serve leaders as unto the Lord. Serve leaders as unto the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service, and as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. You know, I love to listen to Brother J.T. Pugh. What a powerful teacher and preacher. If you ever need some of his sermons, I have probably about 150 of them on my Dropbox. I can send you the link. It's amazing stuff. But one time he was saying he was working a secular job, and he had an unjust boss. His boss was hard. He cussed him out. He was never satisfied. He was never happy. And he would go in and he said it this way. He said, I was glad that I was working for God instead of that man. Because I didn't want to do a good job for that man. Because he was unjust, he was mean, he was surly, he never said a kind word. He said, I did not want to do a good job for him, but when I went in, I was not working for him, I was working for God. God was my boss. So when I got my paycheck, I wasn't getting a paycheck from such and such company, I was getting a paycheck from God. And so when I went and did my part, I was doing it as unto the Lord. Servants, be obedient to your masters. And so we have an obligation as Christians to do our best When your boss is not around, you still work just as hard and just as good as you would when they are standing there. Why? Because we're not doing it for them. We're doing it for the one that's always seeing us. Let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. We are serving God in everything that we do. And so no matter what you're doing, no matter what you do in life, make sure you do it to the best, the absolute best of your ability, because you're working for God, not for your boss. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. We need to honor the ministry in our lives. Honor the elders in our life. Work as unto the Lord. When you commit to something around here, you're not just committing to me, but you're committing to the Lord. Amen. You're not just committing to the person that's trying to get you to do it. If Brother Ben needs some help in the music and you're committed to sing or you're committed to play, you know, follow through with your commitments. Amen. Follow through with your commitments. Be faithful. That's what God has called us to. All right, let me switch gears right here. I want to ask a question. Is obedience conditional? Is obedience conditional? Well, it's not conditional most of the time. It's not conditional most of the time. We should walk in obedience to authority that is in our world, the church, all that sort of thing. Okay, now the next slide says, what is the only exception to submission? I'll tell you. When something violates a higher authority, then there is an exception to obedience, okay? And this, other than the Spirit of God, this is the highest authority, and the Spirit of God will never violate this, so you don't have to worry. Those two things will always be in alignment, okay? So when something violates this, then there is an exception. And let me give you some examples. There's some examples in Scripture. You got Daniel, you got Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego, you got Peter and John, there's others that the civil authority in their life, the king, the government, whatever it was, they wanted these young men in the example of Daniel, they wanted the ordinance said that you couldn't pray to God, you had to pray to their God or to the king, okay? You could only honor the king because he was their God. And so it violated a higher authority because Daniel could not pray to the king because he is not God and will never be God, and so he could not do that. And so what did he do? He opened the window and he prayed anyway, three times a day. And because of that, he violated civil authority, but he submitted to a higher authority, which was of God. And so that's an exception. And of course, it ended up being, he was thrown into the lion's den. God kept him, kept the mouth of the lion shut, brought him out, and God honored him even through the king that put him in there because he submitted himself to a higher authority. And then you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? My shack, your shack, and a bungalow, as we always said when I was a kid. They were supposedly forced to bow to a graven image, and they stood, they were given second chance, and they stood again, and of course they went in the fire, and God met them there. They brought them out without even a smell of smoke on their clothes, and all that. What a powerful choice that was. Because the civil authority said, worship an idol, but God's authority, a higher authority, said, oh, no. You'll only serve the Lord your God. Amen? You won't put any idols before you. And then Peter and John, they were commanded, and some of the other disciples were too, they were commanded not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus because they were causing a ruckus. They were the Jewish leadership of that day didn't like it because it violated what they thought God was all about. But there was a higher authority They had a higher authority that came from God, and they submitted to it, and so that's an exception. And so even in a practical sense, if our government tells us to do something that is in violation to Scripture, then we have the obligation to say, sorry, we're not doing it, okay? One good example that's going to come in the future, right? There's going to be a number that you have to have in your head, your forehead or your hand, whatever it is. I don't know what form that's going to take. But the issue is two things. They're going to make it where you can't buy or sell without it. And in that process, you are going to have to pledge allegiance to the Antichrist, okay? And so that's a civil authority. But we will refuse it because we are submitted to a higher authority. And you don't have to worry. God fed Israel with manna from heaven, and so he's going to take care of us too, whatever he's got to do to handle that. But in that process, we are not going to submit to civil authority because it's violating scriptural authority. Amen. And so we must do what the Bible says. Now, is there a difference in obedience and submission? Yes. The answer is yes. There is a difference in obedience and submission. Because I can line up in obedience and not really be submitted. Because obedience is action. Submission is attitude. You may want to write that one down. That's good. Obedience is action. Submission is attitude. Amen. And so it's like my little example that I've used all the time about the little boy. He's putting time out, sitting in a chair, facing the corner, and he whispers into the corner, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Amen. Has anybody done that? Right? Okay, I'm going to do it, but I don't want to do it. I'm not going to be happy about it. I'm going to grumble about it, okay? And you know, it's a natural response to do that when you have to do something or you submit to something that you don't really want to do and you obey something that you're not really wanting to obey, but you do it anyway because you know it's right. And so sometimes that's our initial process, is that we line up and we obey, and that's, God blesses that, okay? God blesses obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And so we are blessed by obedience, but at some point, we have to go beyond the level of obedience and find submission, because submission is a spirit thing. It's a beautiful thing, because sometimes obedience without ultimately getting to the point of submission will reap bitterness in your life, frustration in your life. And so when I have this bump in my spirit, our initial response should be, yes, we will do it. Whether I like it or not, I will do it. But our secondary response should be, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew in me a right spirit. Amen. Because I don't want to just be right. It's good to be right. But I want to be righteous. Amen. It's great to be right. I want to be right with the Word of God. I want to be right with my leaders. I want to be right in obedience. But oh, when I can get my heart right. When I can love the obedience. When I can love what I'm lining up to. When I can get behind what I am lining up to. Then there is a beauty in submission, because it puts me in alignment with His righteousness. And then because of that, I open the windows of heaven of blessing, of protection. What a beautiful life it is to walk in obedience to the Word of God. Amen. Oh, if you want to be blessed, just walk in this. If you want to have joy, just walk in this. If you want to have a great marriage, walk in this. If you want to have children that obey, that grow up to be good citizens, walk in this. Amen. It's a way, there's no lion's whelp there. There's no vultures there. Amen. There's no birds of prey there. It is called a highway of holiness. Oh, my flesh wants its own thing, but my spirit says, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Can we stand? There's just such a great, sweet confirmation of the Spirit this morning. Amen. God is so good to us. Oh, hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands and thank God for His Word? Lord, I thank You, Jesus. You are so faithful. You are so good, Lord. You are magnificent and mighty. Lord, Your ways are so far above our ways, and I submit to those things right now, Lord. Every word, everything that You have caused to come into my life, Lord, I allow You to be the God of my life. I allow You to be the authority in my life. Lord, I honor our elders. I honor our ministry. I honor our pastors and bishops. Lord, I honor our elected officials. In the name of Jesus, I thank You, God. I pray for our nation today. I pray that You would bless and that You would touch every leader. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You would let healing come to our land. Oh, Jesus, let us walk in submission today in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Praise God. Amen. What a beautiful spirit today. We're so glad to have Brother Chavis. He's going to be with us in the second hour. Take a little break. In just a few minutes, we'll start worship, and we're going to have a powerful time in the Lord. God bless you.